Hello and welcome to episode 28. I'm Stuart McCullough, I'm the CEO of VHAA. And starting with this week's industrial roundup, and in particular with community health, as we continue a year of intensive bargaining for this particular group. This week we are meeting with the Health Workers Union to continue what have been so far productive discussions as we move through the bargaining process for that particular agreement. Meetings have been scheduled with other groups, with the exception of the Allied Health Professionals Union, VAHPA, who had declined to accept our invitation to meet on a fortnightly basis for a three-month period. With respect to health services, our activities this week include a public sector mental health reference group. We have AMA bargaining, which is now moved from half-day to full-day bargaining. We also have a further meeting with the CPSU with respect to dental therapists and dental hygienists, an SDPPWG meeting with the ANMF. The Health and Allied Reference Group is meeting, and the Dental Reference Group is also meeting. As always, you can find summaries of all our activities in all of those meetings on the VHA community app. If you have misplaced your invitation to join the community app, please contact us at vhaa@vhaa.com.au. And that's it for this week's Industrial Roundup. Welcome to the weekly update, where we go in depth with a particular subject. Joining me for this week's discussion is industrial relations consultant Emma Scott. Welcome, Emma.
Thanks for having me again, Stuart.
We seem to have misplaced our box, so in lieu of that, could you please remove the black protective shield and reveal the clue for this week's subject?
I can do.
So for the benefit of those who are listening to this podcast rather than watching, could you describe the object?
It's a picture of some guy in army wear.
And based on that clue, what would you say that the subject for this week's discussion is?
Again, I'm not very good at this. I have no idea.
That is close enough. If you have a close look at that particular picture, you'll notice on the lapel that he is wearing a number of awards.
Mm-hmm.
And those awards, to me, represent higher qualifications of some kind, which brings us to this week's discussion, higher qualifications for allied health professionals.
Well, now that you say that, it does make sense.
So if we just put that forward, Emma, why is it that we're talking about allied health professionals and higher qualifications in particular?
Well, in the most recent round of bargaining, we actually made some amendments to the clause. And what we did was we included a definition of what postgraduate is, and then also the definition of what a doctorate is. In addition to that, we did add a clause about when the allowance was to be paid, which is on all periods of leave except long service leave and sick leave beyond 21 days.
So by that, are you saying that the previous clause didn't define a range of the key terms?
Yes, that's correct.
And it's commonplace for agreements to be specific about whether or not allowances are paid during leave periods. Was it the case that the previous agreement was silent on that issue?
Correct. It didn't have a provision relating to when it should be paid.
The other common provision that arises from those clauses is it usually talks about whether you're usually entitled to the highest qualification and not to multiple qualifications. Allowances.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that's also been clarified?
It hasn't been clarified, but it was in the previous agreement. But compared to the old award, it does talk about when you have a doctorate and a postgrad, you can only receive the doctorate qualification.
So just in terms of those definitions which have been added in, mm-hmm. and I take it that the reason for adding in the definitions that these were a constant source of argument and dispute, and the reason for putting in the definitions is to try and settle those disputes.
That's correct, and we used to get a lot of questions as well.
So in terms of the insertion of those definitions which are designed to resolve those disputes, and starting with the definition of postgraduate qualification.
So the postgraduate qualification is when you have a qualification that has been assessed under the Australian Qualifications Framework as being a Bachelor Honours degree, a graduate certificate, a graduate diploma, or a master's.
So it's interesting to hear you make that reference to the Australian Qualifications Framework, and I'll ask you about that in a moment. But it requires that it be at a particular level under that framework?
Yes, so the levels for those types of collocations is a level 8 and level 9.
And what about the definition for a doctorate?
So a doctorate, again, links to the AQF framework, which is for a level 10, and a doctorate is a doctorate. So that was less complex than what the previous agreement was for postgraduate.
So coming back to that issue of the Australian Qualification Framework, which has not been a common feature of agreements previously, why use the AQF framework?
Why we used that was because we had some applications where at some universities people were calling them a qualification, a doctor of, say, for example, Melbourne, a doctor of physiotherapy. So people would commonly assess that as a doctorate, notwithstanding it actually is at a master's level.
So it was a case that the title of the particular qualification didn't necessarily match up with the qualification level under the AQF framework.
Yes, that's correct.
So I take it that the insertion of these definitions is just simply about being able to identify whether there's an entitlement and the correct amount.
Correct.
And in terms of the relevant amounts that are prescribed under this agreement, under the Allied Health Professionals Agreement?
So for the postgraduate qualification, it's 7.5% of the AHP 1 year 3 rate. And then for the doctorate, it's of the same rate, but it's a different percentage of 10%.
So it's a set rate, but it's also a case that there are fewer graduated steps compared to some of the other agreements.
Yes, that's correct.
And in terms of, we made that point before about how whether or not you can claim more than one qualification allowance.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can't claim a doctorate allowance, or you can only claim a doctorate allowance, you can't claim it also for the postgraduate qualification.
That's correct.
And in terms of those rates, because it is a set amount, mm-hmm. Are those rates then proportionate for casual and part-time employees?
Yes, they are pro rata.
So while the idea of a higher qualifications payment is not unusual for our agreements, this one does seem to be a little bit different to a lot of the other agreements.
Yes, so the reasons for that is that the provisions for the higher qualifications has come from the pre-modern award for health professionals public sector, and that provision didn't provide for a sliding scale like other awards did, and then also then as a result agreements over time. So, yes, usually there is a sliding scale for the graduate certificate or a graduate diploma, but that isn't the case for health professionals because of the historic pre-modern award.
It's interesting when you think about it's been more than 20 years since those state awards transferred into the public sphere. We've had almost 20 years of bargaining,
mm-hmm.
and yet some of those distinctions have managed to survive those processes and continue to this day. So we do have those differences between groups as opposed to consistency.
Yes, we did try to change it in the bargaining round this round, but it was something that BARPA rejected.
So just in terms of the other tests in order to be eligible for a higher qualifications payment?
Mm-hmm. So it has to be relevant and be relevant to the employee's position description and their functional work area.
So that concept of direct relevance, that the qualification has to be directly relevant to the work,
mm-hmm.
that's not an unusual concept for a higher qualifications allowance. What else?
It then also has to be additional.
And the term additional, is that something that's in the eye of the beholder, or is there some guidance with respect to that?
Well, in the agreement, additional isn't actually defined for the postgraduate, but we've defined what we believe is the relevant term of the definition of what additional is.
So how have we done that?
So what we've done is we've gone through the reference group and had discussions with them. So for additional, it means that it can't be the employee's base qualification. So it has to be in addition to the qualification that enables them entry into the relevant profession.
So it's worth just emphasising that in the context of allied health professionals, there are lots and lots and lots of different occupations.
Yes.
That exist under that particular agreement, and the rules and qualifications all vary.
Yes.
So it's a lot of material for people to get their heads around. You made reference to the fact that there is an EBA reference group for allied health professionals, mm-hmm. which has been assisting to prepare some materials. Just for those people who may not be familiar with those reference groups, what's the work that they do?
So what we're doing over the life of the agreement is working through implementation issues of the enterprise agreement that was recently approved in May for the health professionals. And what we're doing is trying to work out if there's resource documents that we can develop to provide members and assist them with the implementation. So we meet every third Thursday of the month.
So that's something that's a little bit different, so that the EBA reference group continues on after the agreement is finished to work through implementation issues and produce materials. And in this case, they've helped us produce materials around the higher qualifications allowance for allied health professionals. Yes. So just in summary, what do members need to do when considering a claim for higher qualifications payments?
So really they have to go through the relevant two tests that we've just described. So one is relevance. And to do that, really, an employee's application should contain that relevant information. But if it doesn't, employer should write to the employees to let them know that further and better particulars are needed to look at the relevance.
And the second test?
And so with the additional test, that involves looking at the employee's qualifications, the entry point as well.
And this is where the reference group has provided a lot of valuable information in terms of determining whether or not the test of additional has been met?
Yes, and that's in particular to the honours, the Bachelor of Honours degree.
So this has perhaps been the most fraught area in terms of whether or not there's an entitlement to higher qualifications allowance for allied health professionals?
Yes.
So just going to that issue of the honours degree, mm-hmm. What are the issues associated with that?
Really, again, it's about helping determine what is additional in the case of an honours, and that's quite complex. So we've had to do quite a bit of research and also lots of discussions with some allied health managers on determining if the honours degree is additional for some professions. And what we found through that research and discussions is that it is different for some of the different streams.
So just in terms of the issue of streams, we talked about the fact that there are a lot of different occupations under this particular enterprise agreement and with different requirements for registration and qualification and the like. But we also really have two separate and distinct streams. We have the therapeutic stream and the scientific stream.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a difference that work revealed in terms of what constituted an additional qualification between the therapeutic and scientific streams?
Yes, so what we found with the qualifications that we assessed was in the therapy streams, the Bachelor of Honours actually formed part of the employee's base qualification. So that is, they still did a 4 years of study and the honours units were included in that 4 years of study. So therefore, without the honours units, they wouldn't have actually been able to complete their qualification. It was embedded.
So in that case, it's not an additional qualification in that particular circumstance?
Correct.
What about the scientific stream?
So in the scientific stream, with the qualifications we assessed, we found that it was quite different. So what would happen is that an employee could do an undergraduate science degree. So, for example, a cardiac technologist would do a Bachelor in Science, and then they would graduate from that and then apply to complete a Bachelor of Honours degree. So it's separate and distinct from the undergraduate qualification. And in the case of the cardiac technologist, the Bachelor in Science did enable them entry into the profession under the agreement.
And just going to the issue of a master's, mm-hmm. A person with a master's who enters the profession, the relevant profession, are they entitled to a higher qualification allowance?
So if their other qualifications don't entitle them to enter into the profession, and that's really by looking at what the relevant entry points are in the enterprise agreement, then no, it wouldn't be additional. So if someone had, say, a Bachelor of Science that wasn't specialised and then they went on to do their Masters of Physiotherapy, it's actually the Masters of Physiotherapy that allows them to enter, so then therefore it isn't additional.
So just to be clear, this is the kind of information that will be in the guideline that will be issuing to members, so members will have this information?
Yes, that's correct.
So you've mentioned that relevance is another test. How is relevance determined?
So relevance, again, there's not really anything outlined on how you would look at that. It does talk about the functional work and then also the employee's position. So that would really involve looking at the position description and also any other relevant duties and responsibilities that the employer might give the employees.
What about relevant clinical experiences?
So we would always recommend that if an employee is basing a qualification where it has some clinical component, that people with a clinical experience should look at it, which might include a senior clinician or an allied health manager.
And is there anything else that members should be aware of when they're coming to assess an employee's qualification?
Yes, so there is also entry points under the enterprise agreement at clause 84.5, and what they have to do is look at the qualification, and it has to be a relevant qualification. So
that's a point of difference between some of the other agreements. So there is both a higher qualifications allowance, but the point of entry into the structure may be different depending on the level of qualification.
Yes, that's correct.
And does the AQF framework also apply to the assessment of those qualifications and those entry points?
Yes, it does.
Can members find the information that we've talked about today? How can they access that information?
Well, currently now they can't access it because we're just finalising it. We've given it to the union to review, and we're just trying to reach an agreement with them. There's a few items that we're still working on, and ideally we will be able to reach an agreement with them, but in any case, if we can't, we will still be releasing the document. And what we will do is put it on the VHA community app under the resources tab and on MyIR.
So for those people who are utilising the community app, which is quite a number of people at this point, and they're signed up to the Allied Health Professionals group, they'll find it under the resources tab, but as is the case with all of our enterprise agreement resources, also under the website.
Yes.
And if people have misplaced their password for the website, they should contact VHAA.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking me through that, Emma. We should give the last word perhaps to Bill. As such, I don't know where this picture is. I found it in my office. There was no explanation as such, but I think Bill's been helpful. So thank you, Emma.
No, thank you.
And thank you, Bill.